This is Spotlight on KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Today we've got a spotlight on misinformation, social media, and the rumor mill, and the refugee resettlement conversation in northern Minnesota. Throughout the program, we're going to hear from local officials like Reed Olson from the Beltrami County Board of Directors, Marshall Helmberger from the Timberjay newspaper, and data reporter Greta Call from MinPost. We're also going to meet Fatima Said, once a refugee from Bosnia who resettled and stayed in Minnesota. She's going to tell us her personal story and about the organization she runs in Winona, Project Fine. They welcome and assist new refugees and immigrants to Minnesota. Sarah Bignell will join me to talk about checking our own media habits and biases later in the show. And Bob Garfield, he's co-host of WNYC's On the Media. He talks with us about his new book, American Manifesto, Saving Democracy from Villains, Vandals, and Ourselves. And in case you think this is a political show, what Bob is talking about is both liberals and conservatives and how they are spreading misinformation. It's Spotlight, KAXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Stay with me for the next hour. It's music from Thievery Corporation. It's Spotlight on KAXE, KBXE. Today, we are focusing on the myths and the misinformation of refugee resettlement in northern Minnesota. Let's start with last September. President Trump issued an executive order to give local governments the authority to decide if they would accept refugees for resettlement. Let's talk about refugees. What does the word even mean? According to Rachel King, she is the state refugee coordinator at the Minnesota Department of Human Services, refugee is a legal term in the U.S., an immigration status that means a person who has fled their home country due to persecutions or war and cannot go back safely. The Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota says that refugees are the most screened migrants to enter the United States. After they are screened by the United Nations, they undergo a U.S. screening process that involves 8 security agencies and lasts a minimum of 18 to 24 months. So a person fleeing their country must meet this definition. And then refugee is a permanent status with a path towards citizenship after 5 years. So once the refugee status is granted, the U.S. Department of State decides through local affiliates where to send them in cooperation with 9 nonprofits around the country. The first priority in placing refugees is finding a place where they have connections and family and friends. In the state of Minnesota, the farthest northern settlement is in St. Cloud. This means that counties like Beltrami, Itasca, and St. Louis are over 100 miles outside of any possible resettlement. So when a place is found for a refugee, they must sign a promissory note to pay back the cost of their plane ticket into the United States. One misconception about refugees is that they don't pay taxes and they get free housing. This is not true. Most refugees, once arriving, enter the workforce and contribute to Minnesota's economy and expansion of our tax base. So let's focus in on misinformation about refugees that has been posted and shared on social media, especially in northern Minnesota. Many of these rumors have said that thousands or even 6,000 refugees will be arriving in specific counties unless the vote is no by a county board. But the numbers don't add up. Refugees allowed into the U.S. in Minnesota has been decreasing, especially in Minnesota, over the years. In 2019, there were 891 total refugees that came to the state of Minnesota. They were resettled in many different places, none north of St. Cloud. In 2018, there were 663 refugees resettled in Minnesota, a far cry from thousands or 6,000 refugees coming to small towns in northern Minnesota. After President Trump's executive order in a contentious presidential election year, Beltrami County was the only county to vote against refugee resettlement. In Pope County, where President Trump got 60% of the vote in 2016, they unanimously voted to welcome refugees if needed. 24 other counties in Minnesota voted yes to be open to refugee resettlement, including Cook County in Grand Marais, Otter Tail County in Detroit Lakes. Some counties have not discussed this issue, and others have tabled them for conversation at a later date. There's also another interesting twist to this story. A federal judge recently issued a temporary block on President Trump's executive order, which makes the issue uncertain right now. Throughout this hour on Spotlight on KEXE KBXE, we'll learn more about the refugee resettlement. We'll hear a personal story of a refugee coming to Minnesota and becoming a citizen in what she calls the best country on earth. We'll also dig into misinformation, fake news, and how the working of social media and our choices on social media affect the validity of the information that we read. In January, I talked with MinnPost data reporter Greta Call about the numbers and the realities of refugee resettlement. There have been updates on her stories. You can check them out at MinnPost.com. MinnPost is a nonpartisan, nonprofit news source for the state of Minnesota. Be clear, I want to make sure I know this too. Let's be clear about what we mean by a refugee. Is it correct to say that it's a person who is displaced from their country and cannot get back safely?
So it's a technical legal status that the United States government grants to certain people from countries, generally because their country is unsafe for reasons that can be that they're religiously persecuted or there could be a war there and things like that.
And an immigrant, on the other hand, is simply someone who comes from another country, may not fear safety.
Yep.
Okay. So let's move on to these votes in the counties. What did you find out about the counties in Minnesota and what they are doing?
Yes. Under this executive order, this puts it up to local governments whether to decide if they're going to allow refugees to primarily resettle there. So that means when they first come to the United States. I think it's important to note that refugees can move around after they first land in the United States. But basically, it puts it up to Minnesota counties to decide. They have to opt in if they want to allow refugees to come in. If they don't vote by June, they will have effectively voted no under this executive order. And so just because of all this news and because of the news that Beltrami County had become the first county in Minnesota to vote no and is believed to be one of the first in the U.S. to vote no, I thought it would be interesting to look at how many refugees different counties in Minnesota actually take in. And so I got some data from the Minnesota Department of Health that looks specifically at the number of refugees by country of origin and by Minnesota County. It's important to note that it also includes people who aren't technically refugees but are under a couple statuses like victims of sex trafficking or people from Cuba. So those are in the numbers too, but those are much smaller than the number of refugees. What I found is that there are 44 counties in Minnesota that have taken in refugees in the last decade and 43 counties that have not. So that was an interesting thing kind of in light of counties making these decisions, because there are many counties that will probably be voting on this that haven't had any refugees in the last decade come to their county, including Beltrami County.
And can you explain again where you're finding your information?
Yeah, so this data comes from the Minnesota Department of Health. I talked to somebody there who said that they get the data from the federal government and they keep it for health purposes. So they're doing some screening programs on people coming to this country health-wise.
So what did you find? What counties have the most refugees?
Yeah, so when you look at it on a per capita basis, so adjusting for how big the counties are, the county that by far and away has the most refugees arriving to their county is Ramsey County. So that's St. Paul and the surrounding area. They had 190 refugees in the last decade per 10,000 residents. That was more than twice as much as the next closest county, which was Stearns County, which had 90 refugees per 10,000 residents in the last decade.
And what have you been seeing in the more recent years about the numbers? I think some of the what we're hearing too is that there's more and more refugees coming, and that's part of the reason why people have been getting out to these meetings in Beltrami County and St. Louis County as well.
So that is not actually accurate. We've seen in the last couple years, there's been a pretty stark decrease in the number of refugees coming to Minnesota, and that mirrors national trends. In 2016, Minnesota had more than 3,000 refugees come. In 2017, that dropped to about 1,100, and in 2018, it dropped to around 800. That's largely because of policies under the Trump administration in 2017. Many people remember there was an entry ban on people from places like Somalia, where Minnesota was getting a lot of its refugees, and that factored into some of that drop. in subsequent years, the federal government has the capability to set a ceiling on the number of refugees coming into the country. And that number has been set lower than it had been historically. So we have fewer people coming into the U.S. in the first place with refugee status, and subsequently fewer people coming into Minnesota with refugee status.
A lot of people, I think, assume that most refugees are coming from Somalia, but there have been changes. Where did you actually find that most people are coming from?
Yeah, so in the last 3 years, kind of coinciding with those changes in the refugee program, we've seen a major decline in the number of refugees coming from Somalia. In 2016, we had about 1,400 arrivals from Somalia, and as I just said, a lot more refugees coming overall. The number of refugees overall has dropped in 2017 and 2018, and we actually had only 75 arrivals from Somalia in 2018. And people from Burma, so that's people who tend to be from religious and ethnic minority groups that are persecuted in Burma. In Minnesota, we have a lot of people who are Karen, and that population has come here as refugees, have surpassed the Somali refugee population coming here in 2018.
Beltrami County is the only county in Minnesota to vote no so far. Is there a refugee population there? Is it likely from what you found in your numbers?
So my data just looks at people who are first arriving in Minnesota, and from that data, we know that there haven't been any arrivals to Beltrami County in at least 10 years through the refugee program. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who are refugees living in Beltrami County, because people can move once they arrive in the United States, but it looks like from the last 10 years, there are probably very few refugees.
Reed reporter Greta Call's coverage of refugee resettlements votes at minpost.com. It's Spotlight on KEXE, KBXE. Next up, we're going to hear from Marshall Helmberger, publisher of the Timberjay newspaper in northeastern Minnesota, about the refugee resettlement vote in St. Louis County. And Beltrami County Commissioner Reed Olson, he told me why he brought this issue to the board.
To be clear, the president brought the order up. You know, I didn't. So what was happening, though, is that it hadn't been brought to the county board's attention. And so we were running the risk of running out of time, and non-action is recorded by the State Department as opting out of basically saying, no, we are not a welcoming community. I didn't want history to show that while I was a Beltrami County Commissioner, I allowed that designation to happen. I wanted to at least vote and be on the record of saying that I believe that Beltrami County is a welcoming community. I suppose it should also be stated that the chances of any sort of serious resettlement of refugees in Bemidji or in Beltrami County or north central Minnesota generally is very remote, because we don't have immigrant populations. So for me, this was more of just a hypothetical kind of vote of conscience. Now, what I would really like to say is there was a lot of purposefully distributed misinformation, disinformation going out to people over weekend and Monday and Tuesday morning, scaring the pants off of people, that saying that I or other people were trying to bring in 2,500 people from Syria or 500 people from Somalia, and really playing on people's fears of the unknown and saying, this is going to overwhelm our community, it's going to overwhelm our social systems, our social services, and we can't let this happen. There are no plans for any sort of resettlement. There was, I believe in the Star and Tribune, there was a quote from a person that runs or works for a refugee resettlement program. They said, I'm not sure what they were voting for or against, because there's never going to be a resettlement program in Bemidji. But that being said, I think that the president put out this executive order to sow exactly the kind of fear and chaos and discord that was witnessed on Tuesday night. I think that there are politicians that succeed in chaos and fear and don't do as well in stable situations. So it plays to certain people to have this kind of fear run amok. So I was really disheartened that we had to talk about it. You know, I felt it was important that records show that I feel anyways, if not all of my colleagues, that Bemidji and Beltrami County are welcoming communities, and that if there are people in need, that we want to help them.
That's Beltrami County Commissioner Reed Olson. With a 3-2 vote, they voted to deny consent to refugee resettlement. Marshall Helmberger from the Timber Jay newspaper tells us what happened in St. Louis County and what it means.
Well, the St. Louis County Board took up this issue on Tuesday after hours of public input on it, ended up voting 4-3 to table it. County Board does plan to take it up again in May. At that point, they hope to make a decision either to approve a motion that would allow refugee resettlement or a motion that would deny refugee resettlement. In the end, the motion is largely symbolic, since for the most part, refugees are not being resettled in rural places, at least in Minnesota, and haven't been for years. The last time there was a refugee resettled in St. Louis County was in 2011. And we weren't talking about large numbers. I think we were talking one. So, I mean, to say this is a nothing burger is pretty accurate. I mean, however this vote comes out, it doesn't really make any difference in the question of whether refugees are going to be resettled in St. Louis County, because for the most part, they aren't. But it all came about because of a executive order that President Trump issued back in September that required every state and county in the entire country to vote one way or another on whether they would accept refugees. And as in St. Louis County and other counties, the vote has almost no bearing on the issue of refugees. In fact, you know, there are a lot of folks looking at this who say this isn't even about refugees, that it's more of a campaign tactic by President Trump designed to get people worked up, essentially, over refugee resettlement by forcing every single county in the country to pass this. And it's amazing what happened here in St. Louis County. I mean, this, you know, had originally been thought it would just, you know, breeze through. It wasn't very controversial. I mean, by approving this resolution to allow refugee resettlement, it was simply just keep in place the status quo, because, you know, counties have always been open, you know, in a technical sense to refugee resettlement. It just, you know, even if it wasn't happening. But the outpouring of opposition, mostly in phone calls and emails to commissioners, especially in the northern parts of St. Louis County, was somewhat overwhelming. At the public hearing they had on the issue on Tuesday in Duluth, most of the speakers actually were in favor of passing the motion. But in other parts of St. Louis County, there clearly was quite a bit of opposition. I talked to our local commissioner here, Paul McDonald. He said his office received about 200 phone calls, mostly in opposition, and then lots of emails on top of that. So clearly that people were exercised about this issue, even if the significance of it was essentially non-existent. If this was, as people say, if this was a, you know, political tactic by President Trump, it seems to be working, and getting folks who, you know, are anti-immigrant definitely engaged and organized, and maybe that was, you know, part of the intent. But at this point, I know Commissioner McDonald said, you know, he's just hoping, and the reason he voted for a delay on this was because he wants more time to be able to talk to constituents so they understand the significance, or lack of significance, I guess, of this motion to allow refugee resettlement. Like I said, it just maintains the status quo, doesn't really change anything, and it doesn't mean a single refugee is coming to St. Louis County. But clearly, he said, people don't understand that at this point, and he said that's why they voted to delay this, just to give, you know, commissioners more time to talk to constituents and allay some of the fears that were being spread.
Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timber Jay newspaper in northeastern Minnesota. You're listening to Spotlight on KEXE, KBXE. We're spotlighting the recent refugee resettlement issue in northern Minnesota. It is heated on social media, as you might guess. And later in this show, we hear from Bob Garfield from On the Media. He's pushing us to look outside the groups that only agree with us, to look at media sources that are trusted and take a look at how we are learning about important issues like refugee resettlement. Up next, Fatima Said and her story of being a refugee to Minnesota 26 years ago and the work she's currently doing in southeastern Minnesota. Fatima Said is executive director of Project Fine in Winona. Her organization has a mission to strengthen and enrich their community by facilitating the integration of people who are ethnically diverse and create a respectful and welcoming community. Fatima, it is so good to talk with you this morning. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, I would love if you would share with us your own story. When did you come to the United States? Why? What was that like for you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always happy to share my story, even that is a tough human story. I'm happy to share that people can count their blessing to be born and raised in best country in the world. Like you says, my name is Fatima Said, and I came 26 years ago. My husband and I came to this beautiful country with two children, two bags, and hope for better life. We came from Bosnia and Herzegovina in 1990s during the war. We were one of those groups that were chased out from our own homes. So we came as a refugee. So being a refugee, you know, is like you are just a number. But, you know, pretty soon when we became a number, my husband and I, we realized that we were a lucky number because we survived the war and fear that we live in for a couple of years. So being a lucky number, being alive after the war, we look what can we do, where can we go to start a new life. We were fortunate to come to United States of America, to beautiful, beautiful Minnesota, and especially southeast Minnesota. See, it's very hard to share a personal story. If you catch me crying, please forgive me. Nope. Because, you know, it's not an easy thing. But anyhow, we arrived in Rochester, Minnesota in 1993 on December 9, a very cold night. But when I woke out from the plane, I knew that my brother gonna be there who came before me as a refugee 6 months ahead of me. I knew that he gonna be there waiting for me, but I never expected that there will be many people waiting there, and I didn't know they waiting for me. I asked my brother, who are all those people? And he says, those are people from St. Pius Church and Assisi Heights that are willing to help you until you are on your feet. You know what, Heidi, at that time when I heard that, I couldn't believe that. I felt like I came home because there are people that are willing to open their hearts and their home for me and give me support that I need to start a new life. Experience that this group of people gave me is what motivates me to 26 years, last 26 years, to do what I'm doing with Project Fine, providing information and resources for new ethnic groups and new people that coming in our community, in our region, to give them a tools to establish a better life for themselves, their family, and our community. So my personal experience has been truly a motivation for my professional work that I'm doing today. So Project Fine mission, it's not just my professional mission, it's my life mission. You know, when you're coming so new, when you're coming from different country, when you're coming from different society, there is so much to learn. There is so much to get familiar with. Even if you sometimes are so open-minded and want to do all that, it's not easy. People do need information, you know. Just if we think about ourselves traveling around the globe, you know, and if you're going in completely unknown environment and unknown country and different language, you know, you need a little bit help and support from someone that give, even if you know what you want, you need to get information. So I'm one of those refugees. I keep saying I'm a proud American and ex-refugee, but I certainly understand the pain of people that coming to this country looking for better life. And, you know, for refugee and immigrants, for all of us, everything starts with a job. Because we coming here because we want a better life, and there is no better life without a job. So we at Project Find helping people to find a job, to find the housing, to sign children for school, to help them overcome the basic human needs, and then build their life up like I did 26 years ago. When I look now back on my 26 years in United States, life is beautiful. You know, my husband and I, we came from Bosnia and Herzegovina, well-educated. He was a doctor. I had a teaching degree and life experience working in business as well as in classrooms. So we knew what we need to do, but I didn't speak English. You know, I couldn't. How can you expect that you ever will be in classroom or do anything else if you even don't speak English? But, you know, patience of people around me in my community and their desire to give me information, support me with new things that I need. It really helped me that we started working immediately, started learning English, started educating ourselves, going to school, trying to learn and collect information as much as we can. And life is beautiful now. My baby boy, who was just 2 years old, is now a young man who graduated from college, get the master's. My daughter graduated from college. My husband was able to get certified and go back to the medical profession. It is not easy, but it's doable, but we do need community support and help of people that are willing to share information. So, again, I'm so blessed that I'm in Southeast Minnesota where people are open-minded and really supporting. And another thing, you know, we supporting newcomers and they supporting us. In our region where I live in Rochester, I work in Winona, I consider myself Southeast Minnesota lady. So our workforce shortage is real in our region and we really need more people. So what we do here, we try to work with each other. We try to provide opportunity for meaningful interaction between people that we can eliminate fear and bring people together, that we can help each other. Refugees and immigrants are a very important part of our region, important part of our history. So we are very lucky to live in a place where we have community leadership and support of our community to learn and thrive and be a good community member. Did I answer your question?
Sure
did I give you a little bit about who I am and what I do?
Yes, absolutely. That is Fatima Said. We're talking with her about Project Find that's in Winona, southeastern Minnesota. And, you know, you talked about this fear, and this has been cropping up in large part due to the executive order of President Trump for local governments to vote on the matter. There's a lot of misinformation. There is a lot of fear. How do you move past that? How do you talk about the realities of refugees and immigrants and the people of Minnesota that may be afraid of that?
And you know what, Heidi? I completely understand people's fear. We all are afraid of things we don't know and people we don't know and don't understand and people that coming from somewhere else. That fear is kind of a natural in a human being, you know. But to overcome that fear, we really have to start get to know each other. We have to share human stories. We have to share old stories of people that came before us and learn some new stories. What we did here in Winona, you know, we had Project Find because we are the only one organization that works with refugees and immigrants in our region. So we felt like it's our obligation to provide that opportunity for meaningful interaction. So we created a program called Welcoming Table that we providing once a month, 1 month lunch, 1 month dinner, simply a meal with opportunity to come and get to know someone else, to experience your own community, to meet the new neighbor, and eliminate fear between people. We are afraid of unknown, but once when you hear my story, when you meet me, you know, then you are not anymore afraid of me, nor I'm afraid of you. So there is no better way than to go and get to know people. You know, it's not that hard. Even that, you know, culturally we may be different, we may look different, we may dress different, we may eat different, but there is so much more that bring us together, especially those stories of opportunity that all generation before us came for opportunity, for better life. So that's the same thing. Fear is real, you know, and but there is much more. I take this fear as even extra opportunity to build more welcoming and inclusive community by bringing people together, sharing the stories, eating together, and really just being there for each other. Because, Heidi, this is our home. This is my home. This is my area, this is my state and my country, so I really try, and many other refugees and immigrants are so happy to share their background with people to eliminate fear. We just need an opportunity and goodwill. It's all start with me. It's I need to reach out to get to know somebody else. So I hope that our dear Minnesotans will take first step of trying to get to know somebody and having opportunity to hear their story. And that's the way to eliminate fear.
You can hear the full interview with Fatima Said at kaxe.org.